I love it.
This is The Stash, and you're listening to the Business Bottom Line Podcast, coming to you from the Jewel City of the Mountains, Greenville, Tennessee. We're in the foothills of the Smokies, talking business with people just like you who are responsible for the bottom line, sharing business tips to inspire, inform, and improve, and turn your bottom line from red to black.
And here we are talking. Hang on a minute. My loop come back in. I apologize for that. I had
this is Stash, and you're listening to the Business Bottom Line Podcast, coming to you from the Jewel City of the Mountains, Greenville, Tennessee.
All right.
Okay. Now, that's my bad. I need an engineer. You want to apply for the job to do my production work?
Sure. Sign me up. I like your intro. I love it.
Well, with all that craziness, we'll get introduced to Mr. Dennis Elwell, longtime friend, colleague, I guess, in some sense. And we've been connected for a long time, actually, since he got here from New Jersey, correct?
New Jersey, South Jersey.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And yep. I'm not going to say how many years because it makes us both look old. And I know we don't really look old right now. So
exactly.
We don't want to do that. So anyway, welcome, Dennis. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Well, thanks for the invite.
And so let's just get started with a couple of things. Do you like an Android or an iPhone?
I use an Android.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're in good company then because I do too. Yeah. If it's iPhone, I have to argue with people, but you know, we wind up friends anyway. So tell us a little bit about your family.
My family. Well, I've got a lovely wife of many years. We won't get into that either, but a daughter, a wonderful daughter, and her husband and four grandchildren. Wow. So yeah, we had one daughter and four grandchildren. So I consider that a pretty good return.
Absolutely. For sure. For sure. Well, I don't know your daughter well, although I do know her, but you do have a lovely wife. I know. And grandchildren, they're just the best.
They are.
You just spoil them and send them home, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So tell me either a favorite book or a book you've read lately that you thought, man, it's really good.
Well, that's a good question. I've read a lot of books over the years. The latest book, I guess, was one written by Mike Pence about his time in office. And that was very interesting, insightful. He had a position that was close as you can get.
Right.
To the president, other than being his wife. And but he probably spent more time with him than his wife. I mean, you know, because they were in business together.
Right? Probably true.
So that was a very good book. That was very interesting.
I haven't read that yet, but I'd like to. And I know he had quite an illustrious career before that. For sure.
Yeah.
So tell me, if you had all the money you needed, what would be your hobby? What would you be doing? And you may already be doing that because we're talking about what you are doing. So.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Kind of living the dream right now. But I guess if I had all the money in the world and didn't have to do anything for income or living expenses, I guess what I would do is travel.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'd travel the world. Why not?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. If you get ready to go, let me know.
All right.
I'm ready to go with you.
All right. Sounds good.
I have been blessed enough to travel some in my life and I've always enjoyed it. And I would do more if I had the time and money and if I could get Vicky to go. She's not a world traveler, so I might be a problem for me.
Yeah, I understand. We both have spouses like that, but yeah.
Well, let's give me a little thumbnail of your kind of work history to kind of set this up, because we want to talk about what you're doing now, but kind of give us a little thumbnail of some background, because it's interesting how you got here and doing what you're doing.
Well, yeah, I mean, how long do we have?
Thumbnail.
I guess, well, I've got a background in, as you know, in insurance and real estate. And of course, we moved here from New Jersey and I retired from my insurance career at that time. I was 45 years old, but had done quite a bit in those 45 years. I'd worked for Prudential long enough to actually gain a pension. Believe it or not, I'm getting a pension from them. And that was only 10 years, but I did another 10 years in a brokerage as a brokerage firm. And then during that time, I got invested in real estate, and that's where I got into rental properties and so on. At one time, we had up to 17 rental units, and it was a lot of work. I mean, balancing a business and rentals and a family. And it got to a point where I think things just kind of came to a head. It's like you're in the fast lane, you know. It's just I want to get out. I want to get off. And the Lord spoke to me and said to relocate. And so I said, yeah, sure. Why not? Where to? and a client of mine laid a real estate book on my desk, and it was in Greene County.
Wow.
Never heard of Greene County, Tennessee. Heard of Tennessee, had been in the neighborhood, Dollywood, had visited some friends or family out in Middle Tennessee, Cookeville, that area. But anyway, next time we took a trip to Dollywood, we took a look around and met up with a local realtor, Woody Stubblefield from Century 21. Very nice guy. Knew he wasn't going to make a sale that day, but he took all day with us and we had a great time and showed us all these places. And we looked at each other, wife and I said, I think we need to move here.
Wow.
And so it didn't happen right away, but the Lord made it happen. And in a couple of years, we were here.
Wow.
Sold out everything and moved to Tennessee. So been the best thing ever happened to us. Looking back, no looking back. Oh boy, I tell you what, this has been a real blessing. Our lifestyle changed drastically. We didn't go on trips, you know, big company trips, all expense paid kind of conventions and things of that nature. But man, the quality of life really changed for us, I think, for much for the better. And we went from a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house to a 1-bedroom cabin in the mountains on the Greene County, Hawkins County line. I mean, talk about a change. The first time in my life I ever heard leaves fall.
Really?
We were sitting in this cabin. We're sitting on 200 acres. We're one of 6 cabins scattered among 200 acres. There's nothing, I mean, around. And sitting on the porch, and I hear it was in the fall, and I heard the sound. And it was just tink, 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 tink. I'm looking around. What in the world is that? And then I'm following these leaves, and I realize that's the leaves hitting the ground. That's amazing. Leaves actually make a sound. I never heard that before.
that's a great line, listening to the leaves fall.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So, and then you've had 2 or 3 different ventures before you got where you are, which is what we're going to talk about in a minute. But
yeah. You mean, oh, since in Tennessee? Yeah.
Yes, in Tennessee.
Yeah, I've been involved in, 2 or 3. Well, one of them was Comcare. We spent a year or so together in Comcare. That was really interesting. And that just gave me a whole new perspective on dealing with handicapped people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was just amazing, you know, mentally challenged and so on. And it was just, wow, that was really eye-opening. Gave me a whole new respect for humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're not much different. You know, it's just that we don't communicate the same way, you know, or have a problem.
And at least on the surface, we think we have our problems under control. But with that insight, you realize that their problems aren't necessarily unique.
Right.
We just do a little better job controlling maybe, but exactly. We still have the same problems.
Yeah, exactly. And we were taking care of them. And I just wondered, you know, who are the crazy ones? Yeah.
Anyway. You're right. It does alter your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was exciting and that was interesting. So I learned a lot and then spent, I started a landscape business. I don't know if you knew about that, but, I guess that lasted for a few years. We went out and I had my daughter and some friend of hers one day. I said, you know, I think I've got a mower, I've got a trailer, I've got a four-wheel drive vehicle. I've got some tools. I think I'll try this. So went out and I had my daughter and a friend of hers, one of her school buddies or whatever. And we went out one day and we put out these door hangers. I had them made up at the printers and just a brief, you know, description and a number. And so I went to the neighborhoods that I wanted to target. Okay. The nicer neighborhoods and the areas that I wanted to work in. And so I had them hang these, you know, what I'm talking about, door hangers, right? Mm-hmm. And on the doorknob. And so for the price of a few pizzas and some soft drinks, you know, I got advertising out there and I had calls all, you know, by the time I got home, I was getting calls and that was really interesting. So that's how I got started in that. And I did that for a while and I would get some help when I needed. And, but then I ended up at Camp John Spear and you know about that. And my title with them was about 18 years, 18 years I put in with them. That was a really long one, a great mission. It's a Cumberland Presbyterian Church camp up on Viking Mountain. And when we first got there, that was a God thing. You know, our daughter, the way I found out it, we were involved with the Cumberland Presbyterian Church and our daughter was involved in the youth. And so that's where the youth would go for camp. And of course I would take her to camp. And so we would do that in the fall and the spring. And one time going up the driveway, there was looked like what they were doing was building a house. And so I inquired about it and they said, oh, they're building that for the caretaker. Oh, okay. So I come back, you know, in the fall and the thing is it's done. It's just about built. And I look, oh, wow, that's nice. And so I inquired again and I said, well, that's for the caretaker. Who's the caretaker? They said, well, we don't have one. I said, oh, okay. Well, what are the requirements? And they told me, you know, some of the things. And I said, well, where do I apply? Long story short, I put in my my application and I was up against a lot of long time pastors that had been in the church for years. And I thought, well, you know, I don't have a chance. You know, I'm a new guy. You know, I've only been with the church, you know, maybe a couple of years. And lo and behold, I said, you got the job. So I come to find out that I kind of realized I don't think the pastors wanted to do the work. It was a lot of work.
I'm sure it's more than anyone could imagine unless you're there.
Well, it wasn't caretaker. That was just the title. It was everything. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, there was very little promotion of the camp. And I just couldn't understand why a lot of people, nobody heard of it. And it was pretty much, you know, advertised or promoted within the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, here we are, we're paying all these fixed expenses and it's only being utilized for a couple retreats in the spring, a couple retreats in the fall, a couple, you know, weeks in the summer, and that's it. I said, otherwise it's just sitting there, and here you're paying for all this insurance and the maintenance and the taxes and providing a place for us. And I mean, you know, it needs to be utilized. I mean, people need to. So we started, I pushed to promote the camp, you know, outside the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, which they which they agreed to. So we had a website set up, and I got brochures, and I got business cards, and I started handing them out, and I'd give them to all the board members. I said, here, hand these to all your friends, people you know. And lo and behold, the camp just started just blossoming. I mean, and we were able to fix things and improve things and build things. And we built a chapel, and we improved the bathrooms, and we just did a whole lot of stuff, put in a water slide. And people just came from all over. I mean, we had people from all different churches, and then we had family reunions and some weddings. And so, yeah, it was a very, very rewarding thing. And it was a great mission, and we enjoyed it very much. That was just, I had people come to me, and they would say, Dennis, this is just what we needed. This is what I needed. This is what our group needed. We needed this time to commune with God. We needed this to be in this place, this beautiful, peaceful place in the mountains. And it was really close to, it's really close to the Appalachian Trail. So we would often go up and hike the trail. Mm-hmm. And I'd meet up with through hikers and so on. So it was really interesting.
Well, that you definitely left your mark there. That's for sure.
And yeah, it's still going. Yeah.
Better than before, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's not hard to understand just for their conversation to this point that you have an entrepreneurial mindset and that you look for opportunities and how to turn those into progress in different aspects. So let's talk about your current entrepreneurial endeavor that you're working with right now.
Okay. Yeah. Our Airbnb. This is a dream of both the wife and I. And it just kind of, it's been simmering, I guess, for some time. Having been involved in the camp and with the public and, of course, in the insurance and just dealing with people. That comes natural. And then there were some things that I would have liked to have done at camp that others didn't want to do, and like have cabins and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't on the table. And then the wife, she, Ruth, I'm sorry, she's not here with me today, but, she got involved with a local Serenity Cove is the name. I don't think she'd mind if I mentioned out on Asheville Highway. And so she used to help with her B&B. And so she would stay there. And when she would go on vacation, she'd run the place and take care of the pets and the mail and if someone needed something and so on. And then I'd stop over and stay with a night or two. And so we would stand out on the deck there and we'd go, looking around, wildlife, trees, mountains. This is not a bad gig. And we're starting talking about what we would do different or how we would run things if it was ours, So it's kind of funny how this all comes. It's amazing how God works and how all these things come to fruition, when you think about it. So anyway, when our time was coming to a close at the camp, and I don't mean that either they were getting rid of us or we were getting rid. It was just time for us to scale back, and we needed to less busy. I mean, it was almost like we were going back to Jersey again, with the stress level, so much work to do. And so when we started looking at the other opportunities, I'd stopped into this, we stopped in the bank, and there were a couple flyers in there for auctions. And so the wife says, well, maybe we should look at one of these, And so, okay. So There was one auction. There was two, and they were both the same day. There's just no way we're going to hit both of them. So I picked the one. And when I left in the morning, my wife's on the phone with her sister. And when she gets on the phone with her sister in New Jersey, it's like all day. And like, so I said, well, I'm not waiting. She says, you going to the auction? Yeah, I'm going. So I left and went to the auction. So a guy, and there were like 75 people. And this auction, it was a chancery court auction. And they were selling this off as part of an estate. And I didn't know what I was getting into. But long story short, I know we're limited on time, but I bought the property and the wife didn't know it. And I didn't even have my checkbook with me. So the house is like, it's huge. And so it's like, what are we going to do with this? And they were, well, let's make it a B&B. This is what we talked about. So yeah, here we are. We have this big house. It's got two floors. And so what we did, and we fixed up the first level because it had been sitting for a while, unoccupied, not used regularly because it was part of this family estate. And so we fixed the first level up, and we actually started out and advertised on Airbnb before we even moved in. We had our first guest.
Wow.
Before we even moved in. We were still on the mountain. We were still up at the camp. And May. Yeah, it was Memorial Day weekend. We had a grand opening or dedication or whatever. Had, you know, some friends and family over. And then by, I think, 1st of June or mid-June, we had our first guest in. But since then, it's been, what a blessing. It's been really amazing. When we left the mountain, we had no idea what was going to be coming down the pike. COVID, that next year, hit. And we had people coming to our B&B from all over the country just to get away from everything. I mean, because everything was just shut down. And we were only closed for 1 month, and that was it. And after that, people come in and they're going, oh, this is great. I can go to the store. I can go to the church. I can go to the hairdresser. I can go out to restaurants. We can do all these things. And just people are so excited. And so it was real. It was amazing. A blessing just from the very beginning. I had moved this cabin that was up on the mountain that I had moved to the camp that had been involved in a flood. And I brought that down to this property. And in fact, I'm sitting in it right now, right here on our property by the river. We're overlooking the river and you can see the mountains from here. And fixed this all up. And so now this is part of our Airbnb as well.
Wow. Terrific. Yeah. I remember you talking about moving that cabin.
Yeah.
And quite a feat to get accomplished.
Quite a feat.
Yeah.
Quite a feat. I had some help, a lot of help from some neighbors and friends and from a Kaufman. He's one of the movers for the storage buildings out here in Chucky. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he has this special rig, this special setup designed for moving these storage buildings. And that's what he used to move this cabin. Of course, we had to take the whole top off.
Right. Disassemble and reassemble.
And then we put a deck all the way around it. It's come out really, really nice. People come and they love this. It's got a lot of. Yeah.
Tell us what the name is.
Okay. We've got a couple of names. It's, you know, when you look on Airbnb, the best way to look it up is just look for Chucky, Tennessee, and then you can find it. But there's we have it advertised in a couple of different ways. One is the first floor of the house we have dedicated to. There's two different venues. You can do it as a family group which includes a bunk room for the kids, a recreation room, you know, with a foosball table, pinball, and private bath, and a queen suite. That's for a family suite. And that's advertised as like Davy Crockett B&B, something like that. I think that's what it is, Davy Crockett B&B. Then you can just rent, if you don't have a family, you can just rent at a reduced rate, just the queen suite, okay? And of course, the recreation room comes with it. And there's also a kitchenette, too, comes with
okay.
it. Okay.
Okay.
There's a, you know, with a small refrigerator and the sink. And, yeah, there's a microwave in there.
Yeah, so, okay. And then your cabin there on the river, now, is it a one-bedroom, two-bedroom?
It's a one-bedroom loft.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you have climb these stairs to go up in it. So,
and you're sitting very close to the river, right?
Yes, yes, the Nolichucky River.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Cool. You can get it's really nice.
So one of the things we learned from Dennis Elwell is there are a myriad of ways to make a living or make money. That's one of the things we learned. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. Now, with that being said, and we're about to run out of time here. One of our goals on the podcast, because we have a lot of business owners that listen and a lot that contribute. We've had several on the podcast. So we always ask, what is your best bottom line business tip? Because our motto is we want to help people turn the bottom line from red to black.
Very good. What how much time do we have left?
Well, we'll give you about 90 seconds.
All right. Bottom line. All right. Everybody has to earn a living some way. My recommendation is to do something that you enjoy while earning a living, first of all. Second of all, don't depend on that one thing. You should have several streams of income, not just dependent on a salary or a job or Social Security or a pension. If you just depend on one thing and that one thing just goes away, then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is to have multiple streams of income. And you should have at least 7 different streams of income in order to be successful. That way you always have something going. If one thing goes down, you've got 6 more that are still going.
Yeah.
Even if 2 things go down, why not? You know, you still have something going.
Yeah.
There's my advice.
That's a great bottom line tip. It kind of is fleshing out the old adage of don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Good point, my friend.
Probably at least Tennessee saying, I would think. But anyway, that's great. Dennis, thank you for taking time to talk with us and get acquainted. And hopefully it will be a positive thing as people continue to find you and want to stay in your space, and the line may get longer. Who knows?
Very good. Well, thank you very much, my friend. I really appreciate it.
Well, you take care. It's great to talk to you, and we'll see you soon.
Very good. Thank you. God bless you.
All right.